ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
चत्वविद्ध महाभागो गुणकर्म विभागयोः गुणा गुणेषु वर्तन्त इति मज्ञानं सिद्ध्यते। इसे तत्वविद्धो इसे वन हू इज अ नोअर ऑफ द ट्रुथ व्हाट डज ही डू ही नोज द डिफरेंशिएट बिटवीन व्हाट इज वर्क इन डिवोशन एंड व्हाट इज वर्क आफ्टर द रिजल्ट। इट इज वन हू इज अ नॉलेज द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ ओ माइटी आर्म डज नॉट एंगेज हिमसेल्फ इन द सेंसेस and sense gratification, knowing well the difference between work in devotion and work for spiritual results. So, the work in devotion and work for spiritual results may apparently appear to be the same. We were given the example of Arjuna. Arjuna fighting and Duryodhana fighting, it appears to be the same. They have chariots, they have swords, they have diamond arrows. If work in devotion, like what we do and what our materialist outsource does, it looks very similar. But what is the difference? That's a bit can very clearly differentiate the knower of the truth. You can clearly say this is meant for Krishna, this Krishna service. And the other work done by a materialist, that is what people result to the aim of sense gratification. It is guna guneshu vartanta here. Gunagunesha Vartan means the senses are engaged in sense gratification. You clearly understand when the materialist is doing the work. So a devotee never does such type of work. That means a devotee should be extremely careful to constantly analyze himself whether this activity is meant for Krishna service or for my sense gratification. Can, many examples can be given. Sometimes when the devotees like to hear some Western music, they must be coming from the background where they have been hearing a lot of Western songs. So you are coming, you want to hear Hare Krishna and Western. Okay. Of course, it's a controversial topic. Somebody may say, I feel great devotion when I hear that Hare Krishna Western music. But that feeling of devotion, whether we don't know whether it's devotion or some gratification, it's really questionable. Because sometimes that type of chants which are sung in some particular cinema tune, one is reminded of that old tune. In fact, one goes back to the old, back to the video that he told in his mind before. So in Krishna consciousness, we should be very, very careful not to get trapped in the sense gratification things. So it is very clear and like this is meant for sense gratification. Like one example, Giriraj Sai Maharaj was telling one of his lectures, he was saying there was some sannyasi in his town. So whenever, so he was very attached to eating sweets. He liked sweets very much. Especially gulab jamun and rasagulla. He was very much want to eat that. So when Mahaprasad would come out from the baby kitchen, he would tell the Dhamadari, so Dhamadari, go and get that. I want to honor Mahaprasadam, he would say. So get the gulab jamun, I want to honor. So that is his what intention. With what intention you want to honor Mahaprasad. If somebody comes and gives you, you want Mahaprasad, please take some dal. Dal, you do not want to honor it. You want to honor only gulab jamun. So in the same way, even within the stream of devotional service, one has to very carefully observe whether one is gratifying one's senses or one is praising Krishna. Really what is it? He says, oh mighty armed, such an hour as well as it, he does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for spiritual results. So Prabhupada makes one very simple statement here. He says, the knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. The knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And his person should not be in material creation. This is actually the consciousness of a Tattvavit. I know it as actual truth. Of course, actual meaning of Tattvavit means one who knows Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. One who knows all the three aspects is called as a Tattvavit. But also, such a Tattvavit actually realizes that I am in awkward position. That Jagannathapuru offers a prayer, then he sees himself in awkward position. Anybody can say. What is the prayer? Ayananda Tanajasankara. All of you know the prayer? You will get up together. Ayananda Tanajasankara. Satitannam Vishame Bhavambhira. Kutayata Vatara Pankaja. Kutadevita Prasam Vishantaya. He's praying. My Lord, Ayananda Tanajasankara. Satitannam Vishame Bhavambhira. I'm a talent. Down into this version of Messiah and please pick me up and place me as one of the millions of atoms at your lotus feet. This is the mode of a devotee. He is called as a Tattvavit. But on the other hand, what is the consciousness of a level-based soul that Krishna has given to the next verse? Takkutu gunatam moda sajyantu gunadharmatu. He completely engages in some of the spiritual activities. Sajyantu means engage. Completely engaged. Prakriti guna samuda. Completely bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Sajjante guna karmato. Guna karmato means karma means activity. Guna karmato means activities in the three modes. Tana krishna vidayamanda. Krishna dhimma vichaliye. Here Krishna says, but the wife should not answer them. Although these duties are inferior due to the performance, lack of knowledge. So here Krishna says, some people, they're presented with the more the material nature, they ignore and fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. So this is the condition of the ignorant people. Those are conditions. Of course, the devotee may also be conditioned in the beginning stages. But the devotee begins to understand this is sense gratification, this is Krishna's service. Gradually he wants to come out of sense gratification. You remember I was telling you, three modes are pulling on one direction and who is pulling on the other direction? Krishna is pulling. Krishna is the devotee. They are pulling on the other direction. So the devotee is gradually coming out of the three modes. And at one point of time he becomes free from the three modes. Vaigunya Vishaya Veda, Vaigunya Tayarthana. Whereas this ignorant person, he doesn't know what are the three modes, how they are acting on him. He just ignorantly is engaging in sense gratificatory pursuits. But what does Krishna say? The wife should not answer the Dhamma. Okay. But the wife should not answer the Dhamma, although his duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Actually, what Krishna means here is that if you try to start somebody engaging in materialistic activities, he may become entangled in more further abominable activities. Like for example, in the earlier shloka also we said, Yoshiya Sarva Karmani. Krishna said that there should be, their action should be joyful with them. For example, Narada Muni, when he met Valmiki for the first time, Valmiki was extremely sinful. In fact, he was so sinful that he could not utter the word Rama. What word he could not utter? All of you able to utter. I think he was more sinful than all of you. All of us here, he was so sinful. So Narada told him, you are not fit to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Better you worship the God of death. So you chant what do you say? Mara. So Mara Mara he told him. That was very easy for him to chant. Because he has been killing so many animals in the forest. So he chanted Mara Mara Mara. That one special attribute of Valmiki was that he had complete faith in the instruction of Narada Muni. So he chanted Mara Mara gradually. He became purified and he became a great devotee of Ram. So much so that he got empowered to write Ramayana. So in this way, the great Acharya following this yoga, we don't try to take out such conditions out of their regular activities. It's not possible. They don't write like earlier also Krishna told something similar, isn't it? That was it. So as not to distress the minds of ignorant men, attach repetitive results of special duties, the learned person should not induce them to start work. Rather, by working in spiritual devotion, they should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So you can give many examples like this. Even Prabhupada, also when he went abroad, he met so many people like that. There was one David. You know David? David was, he was playing with him in his home. That was stolen, and David started consuming drugs. He became crazy, he started shouting. And that was thought that there may be a threat to his life itself, and he had come for a great mission. So he left the place, and later he came and he went to Bowery. So, in this way we see, the pure devotees of the Lord are even more merciful than the Lord himself. By the mercy of the Lord. The proper right in the purpose. Then we ask, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that we should not disturb the minds of those people. Then let them go to hell. Why should we bother about them? If they don't want to surrender, if they don't want to become devotees, why should we go and preach them? Let them go to hell. One can say like that, isn't it? And then one can continue with one devotional service naturally, at once. But the pure devotees are so compassionate. Tukshava, Karunika. They are very tolerant. They are extremely merciful. Surdas Sarvadevinam, they are the well-wishers of every living being. So they are ready to take any amount of risk in their life, to the extent of even giving up their life, if that is what is needed for delivering the suffering prayer out of this world. Dalai Maharaj prayed a very beautiful prayer when he got the question of Rashmadev. He said, I am never agitated in my mind about what? How are they going to cross the river of Vaitarni? You know, Vaitarni is the river that separates the spiritual world and the material world, in which Mahavishnu is lying, the river of Vaitarni. So he's saying, how are they going to cross this Vaitarni and enter into the spiritual world? I never bothered about that. All of us are bothered about that, isn't that? Any of you here? Is there anyone here who is not really worried about going back to the spiritual world? If you are not worried, you won't be here today. But he says, I'm not worried about how I'm going to return to Vaikuntha. Daiva Dhiti Paradharatya Vaikaranyas. That is the reason. The reason is, that Virya Dhyana Mahamrita Bhagna Chitta. Virya Dhyana means, I am constantly absorbed in the Uttama Shloka songs of your glory. Because of being absorbed in that, I don't have to worry about going to Vaikuntha. Because Vaikuntha is the same thing is going on. Vaikuntha devotee is singing your glories. Here in my mind, constantly your glories are going on. So I don't have to worry to go to Vaikuntha, he says. But he says, but I am very much lamenting about one thing. Shoshi, I am very much worried. But Vimukha Cheta Satindriyata. Vimukha Cheta means one who has turned his mukha away like this from the last. Vimukha Cheta. One whose consciousness has turned away from you. Shoshetata Vimukha Cheta Satindriya Artha. For what purpose? For the sake of transgratification. Maya Sukhaya Dharam. Uttrahato Vimudha. Maya Sukhaya Dharam. They are carrying the heavy load of Maya on their shoulders. Studying in this world. But people are actually removed on. Foolish people. Thinking of them in their mind, I am getting useless at the moment. I am getting agitated, he is saying. This is actually the compassion of a great devotee. He is feeling great pain and suffering in his heart when he sees such suffering souls. And he wants to deliver them. As the Lord says, don't go and disturb them. Three devotees say, let me try. But he won't. Somehow he will become a devotee. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they came especially in this age to lead customers to the fallen suffering church. When it's time to go and Haridas Thakur used to go out to preach, of course they would make everyone devotees wherever they would go. But one time Nityananda Prabhu got a strange idea in his mind. He thought, I am making people into devotees very easily, but if I find out the most fallen person in the world, I make him a devotee of Lord Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become very famous all around the world. Then people will easily accept his mercy. So Nitin Prabhu used to always sing, Gajagauranga, Kajagauranga, Gajagauranga Ranamre, Yodana Gauranga Daje, Sivaya Maritanare. This is saying, Gajagauranga, chant the name of Lord Gauranga. He takes the name of Gauranga. So he will say, Yodana Gauranga Daje, Sivaya Maritanare. One who chants the name of Lord Gauranga, they become my life and soul. So this is the thing in the street. There are two Russian names, Jagai and Madai. In fact, they used to appreciate the chants of the Vaishnavas. That was one of their positive attitudes. Although they were very great ruffians, there was no sin that was not done by them. All kinds of abominable activities they had done. But they appreciated Vaishnavas singing. Sometimes, even while in a drunken state, they would appreciate. Vaishnavas singing is very sweet to hear. Like that. So later on, it's a very long pastime. But Nityananda Prabhu goes to the extent of meeting these two people and begging them to chant. He is very much forcing them to chant the Lord's name. He says, at least once you chant. Then Jagai Madai becomes angry. And my mother takes the pot and throws on the tent of his clothes and it starts bleeding. So Nitin Prabhu fell on the ground. So there was bleeding. Do you know what he said? He said, Jagai Madai, I am not feeling great pain because of my bleeding forehead. But I'm feeling a greater pain that you're losing the opportunity to chant the Lord's name after having achieved the human form of life. How unfortunate it is. This is what it is. This is the penalty of compassion. So this is the nature of any pure devotee. He sees a very great compassion. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, immediately he invoked Virajan Chakra to amputate the heads of Jagai and Madai, to look at the victim, to call the person Chakra. But who goes for Arjuna? The temple of himself. He told the Lord that in this Kali Yuga actually you should use the weapon of your holy name to deliver the people. If you are going to kill the people, then you will have to kill everyone. Because everyone in Kali Yuga is like Jagai and Madai. So, in this way, the pure devotees, they are more merciful than Krishna himself. So we wonder, how can somebody be more merciful than Krishna? Krishna is all powerful and he is supreme in everything. How can somebody be more powerful? His more powerful is something like how Yashoda is able to bind Krishna. Is Yashoda more powerful than Krishna? Yes, she is. By the mercy of Krishna. The same way, sometimes devotees are like Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached only in India. Prabhupada went and preached all around the world. The Prabhupada is certainly more powerful. By whose mercy? By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, let me leave all these places, America, Canada, London, England, Australia, for my few devotees who will later on appear and preach. Let me glorify my devotee and teacher. So he left these lands for Srila Prabhupada to come and preach later. So God, sometimes Krishna empowers his devotees so much that they can even deliver such people there. But Krishna is very strict. You see, he demands absolute surrender, without which easily one cannot achieve his mercy. But the devotees are actually much, much more merciful. Just like when Indra committed such a great offense to Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan. In fact, he added Himbatva's wives to pour so heavily that the animals, the cows will be killed due to that. All the animals started fleeing in all directions. Because they were running, they prayed to Krishna for protection. And Krishna lifted the boat and after the rain was stopped, Indra's cows were completely smashed. Indra realized that I'm nobody in front of Krishna. Then he went for seeking forgiveness, but Krishna would not even turn to him. And Indra would come to sit beside him and say, so did not even see him. So he went and sat the mercy of Saradhi Kao. Some of you came to Vrindavan after he went to Golden to the same place where Vrindavan and Saradhi came to meet the Lord. So Saradhi, being a devotee of Krishna, recommended Indra's case to the Lord and said, please kindly come to him. Then Krishna became pleased. Krishna is agreeable only to hear his devotee's words. Of course, Indra is not a demon, but at least for that period of time he behaved like a demon, because he was too much materially infatuated. So, devotees of the Lord sometimes are very greatly empowered to give shelter in Krishna's feet, even from such fallen souls. Somebody who is so abominable, who are completely ignorant, caught up in the dream of this material nature. And then, this 30th shloka is a concluding shloka of this section, which has been reading. Mayi sarvani karmani samyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashe nirmama bhutva vittasya jagada dhyaraha. Here Krishna says, therefore Arjuna, surrendering all your words unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires or profit, with no claims of proprietorship, and free from liberty, fight. So here, this is a concluding chapter. Here, after talking about the modes and how one is acting according to the three modes, now Krishna is telling the conclusion chapter. He says, Mayi Sarvani Karmani. See, you have observed in all these previous chapters one thing. And Krishna has been telling Arjuna, be detached. Always be detached from the truth. But for the first time in this chapter, you will see Krishna saying that you offer all the truth to me. This is a positive aspect. Being merely detached is a neutral aspect. Whereas, by being detached, where do you offer the truth? Gathering to Krishna. So that we say here, Mayi Sarvani Karmani, you offer. You do all the activities for me. One is Adhyatma Chetasana. Adhyatma Chetasana in full consciousness. Prabhupada explains here. The Supreme Lord is Son of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul, without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetasana. That's Prabhupada explains here. And Nirashir means without any desire for profit. When do you have the desire for profit? When you are Nityaguna? Rajoguna. When you are Rajoguna, you are always desiring for profit and gain. Nirmama means with no claims of proprietorship. Namata. No claims of proprietorship. This is mine. That means one should consider Krishna to be the owner. That also is, your mama, he says, that also is in mode of passion. So he says, Nirashi Nirmama Bhutva Yudhyasya Fight Vigatadvara. Vigatadvara means free from lethargy. What is lethargy? In which mode is it in? Part of ignorance. That means here Krishna has said, Nirashi Nirmama, become free from passion. By saying Vigatadvara, he says, become free from ignorance, he says, and then he says, Adhyatma Chetasa. That means, it is not even just goodness, it is transcending goodness, by being situated in pure goodness. And Mayi Sarvani Karmani, Ati Adhyatma Chetasa is in goodness. But when you say Mayi Sarvani Karmani, then it becomes pure goodness. That means, if one is situated in goodness, and then begins to offer all the truth to Krishna, he comes to clear goodness. So, very easily one can understand, the previous verse explained that this chapter, Krishna is telling how one can transcend the three modes of material nature. Earlier he explained about the three modes, how one is bound. But here, by saying this, he is telling, become free from passion, become free from ignorance, and by being situated in goodness and Adhyatma Chetas, what you should do? You should offer all your truth to me. In this way you can transcend all the three modes. That's what Krishna is saying. Mayi Sarvani Karmani. Janmasya Adhyatma Chetasa. Nirashi Nirmama Bhutva. just a little bit there. We are finishing from the previous aspect. He says, then surrender all your works unto me, mayi sarvani karmani, then that is added to nishkam karma of Arjuna. Then it becomes bhakti yoga. It has to work done in devotion for Krishna's pleasure. It has to work done for Krishna's pleasure, becomes bhakti yoga. Same thing, nishkam karma yoga. If it is done for Krishna's pleasure, what happens? It becomes bhakti yoga. So understand that. I'll stop here. Next week we will continue with the next session. So this is a beautiful quote from Acharya. It says, although Krishna has often requested Arjuna to act on the platform of detachment and duty, he now reveals his actual desire that Arjuna should fight with devotion. At the first time when Acharya was saying, Krishna has been talking so vaguely about how to become detached. Here he is saying, Arjuna not only should be detached, but by being said that, you will offer all the fruits to me. So here it's a positive thing that Krishna says. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Can we differentiate between
temple Krishna
service?
Yeah. For example, if one is following the order of the spiritual master, by chanting 16 times a day and following 4 great principles, and then doing bare minimum work that is required for one's survival, then one is firmly situated. There is no problem at all. But in every activity that is performed in the day, one has to always discriminate with one's spiritual intelligence, whether this is meant for my self-identification or it's meant for Krishna service. A simple example, for example, when I come from Bangalore, sometimes I carry very heavy luggage. Sometimes I have only a shoulder bag. I have a back on shoulder bag. So when I come from, when I get down on the station, it will be around say 9 o'clock. At that time, if you take an auto, it is not a sense of application. So it's just 9 o'clock, then there is 3 to 9:30. So I might as well walk back to the temple and say, 10 rupees of Krishna. But instead, if I say, oh, I have so much money with me in my drawer, let me just take an auto, then that becomes a luxury. That becomes a sense of application. But if, on the other hand, if I have a lot of luggage, I'm carrying a lot of books from Bombay, I cannot carry it. I cannot walk down to temple with that. Then taking auto is justified. So in this way, a devotee should constantly observe his activities and see whether this is a Krishna service or it's meant for my own self-gratification. So always observe in every activity.
Can I just ask one more question?
Just a ruminate while walking. Like a cow ruminates. Same way, while coming from Bombay to Pune, I memorized certain chokas, and while going from Pune station to temple, almost all the chokas I can thoroughly revise. Like that I do. Of course, that is a special time. They do not afford to waste it. If I am going to walk and I am just thinking of Maya, it's a waste of time. So it's the time, I am not confident of using the time for teaching Krishna service, and I feel by going to temple I can do it. But generally when I come back from Bombay, nobody allows me to read. People ask me what happened in Bombay and so much stuff. Generally we don't say much time. Go back. Yeah, that is true. And also we should be very careful while discriminating that sometimes mind may give justification also. Anybody can give an example for this? How mind can give justification? That's in justification. You can think of a good example in the future life. So one time Raghunath Maharaj was telling me an example. Of course it was very much kept in the other end. One devotee went to see a cinema. Then he was caught by another devotee. So what are you doing here? In cinema theater. He said, I wanted to know what these materialists are doing so that I can preach to them properly. Sometimes people say we want to read magazines, you know. We want to read Bhattanagar or Sunny Blitz, we want to read these magazines. Why do you want to read? I just want to know what is going on in the world, so that accordingly I can preach to them. So that I'm preaching. That is actually, you may think you want to preach to them, but they may pull you in that direction. All done. Very careful. So we should know where congratulation is done, where it's not for you done. Somebody is working in computer all day, he is working for 15 hours a day, for person in passion. You can direct him to do a lot of work for Krishna for you. Any person like that. That is 26 shloka. There is 29 shloka, which is talking about a person who is ignorant, who is fully engaged in material activities, and he is covered by the three modes. He is completely into three modes. So here he is saying the wife should not answer to them. Although the duties are inferior due to the performance, lack of knowledge. So the duties, if one is performing in three modes and one, like in mode of ignorance, one is always lamenting, suffering. So in mode of passion, one is partially happy and partially suffering. In mode of goodness, one is happy. So in this way, a person is ignorantly feeling a sense of happiness or distress and spending his life. So these days, do not answer to them because proper explains in the perfect. I have marked certain points here. So here he says, his body is a gift of material nature, and one who is too much attached to bodily consciousness is called a manda, or lazy person without understanding of the spiritual. And then later he explains, under the spell of such resignations, we are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate this material in God's presence. Let us prosecute one's own spiritual activity silently. But the beloved presence may be engaged in such primary moral synthesis of life as non violence and similarly materially benevolent work. So that the engaged persons are of two categories. One is that they don't have faith in any spiritual life. They are engaged in demoniac activities. Or they may be engaged in a superior material activity like non violence. Or like doing some social work activity. If you try to explain to them about Krishna consciousness, they will become offended. You know what is the 9%? Yeah. So instead of the faith work about the glory of the heavenly. So the 9% is that by going to such wicked people and talking to them about Radha and Krishna, it's really not the big thing because they will become offended. And when one becomes offended, can you offend? Devotees. You may cause harm to devotees. You may even get a killing of devotees. It is very, very dangerous for that living entity. If Mr. Krishna is saying it is very, very dangerous to treat such people, so they are already there in a degraded condition, they will become furthermore degraded. Then one may ask them, how can they learn a good lesson? And how can they become devotees? They have to be repeatedly tagged in the ways of this material nature. Again and again and again. And then one is tagged like that, then one gradually gains maturity that this world is a world of suffering. And when one is so much frustrated, then one may gradually come to God. Then one becomes after Vijnana or Sattvijnani. Of course, one doesn't turn to Krishna immediately. One may turn to some so-called spiritualist. We will be seeing about it more in detail in the next two shlokas about those who are of demoniac nature. I get envying the Supreme Lord. But then I go to some so-called spiritualist, or then I go to some demigod, or then I go to some self-created, manifested incarnation of God. So then I go to such people. So then I begin to attach so many lifetimes. Ultimately become come to Krishna. Become as Artha, Vijnata, Rattarthi, Jnani. Once they come to Krishna, then they gradually can advance and become a devotee. That is it. But not the speed of the process of coming to Krishna, that was explained here, in the last four lines. Devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Proper essence of purpose. Last four lines. That is why sometimes somebody may argue, what is this? The people who are contradicting the Shastra. Shastra says something and they are not telling. If you ask a Vaishnava, he will say, if you really want to know what is religion, the real religion is present in the heart of the creative world. It is not even in the scriptures. Dharma se tatyam, nikitam dhyayam, mahajana yena gata satanta. The real religion is available in the heart of a true devotee, in the life of a true devotee, how you live. From that only, from a living devotee, only one can understand how should one follow the orders of Krishna. Because sometimes the shastras are contradicting. Tatka, Pratishtha, Satya, Vidinna. Krishna here talks so much about God and surrender to God. If you see Krishna as Buddha, Buddha is an atheist. He was teaching Shunyavad. And if you see, he talks Shunyavad, if you see Tatka, Tatka teaches something else. You see, different incarnations teach different things and one can very much become confused when one reads all these things. But when one looks at the life of a pure devotee, then things become very clear, very easy. One has to simply follow a pure devotee. Following in the footsteps, then one can achieve complete success. The shastras can be confusing. So your proper experience, although in shastras, Krishna says, like this, he is telling us not to approach such people because it is due to the risk involved in such teaching. Then a hamper, the devotee's great life. For example, if you see Russia, in Russia, devotees used to go for distribution of books. Thousands of books used to go. Russia was actually a communist country before. And later on, when communism broke down into pieces, then people were let loose and everyone wanted religion. And when Hare Krishna entered, at the appropriate time, people were so fond of hearing about God. After Srimad Bhagavatam class, there used to be about 800 people in the morning, every day. Krishna took Krishna Pad Maharaj was telling, Bhakti Krishna Swami. So 800 people used to come for the classes. Every morning, for months together, people used to come like that. The government became very, very upset. The people, if they go to God, then they become inactive, then they become sadhus. So many were telling of the head also. Government became upright. They wanted Hare Krishna to start teaching. So they would catch the Hare Krishna devotees who would be distributing books and they give them injection. Such injection which will make their nerves very, very weak. But I don't know what is the name of this injection, so any doctor is a different of it. The rest become so completely with hands and legs become big, person completely. He lies down for days and months together. He cannot do any activity. He becomes like impotent. He cannot do any activity. Some particular medicine they used to give like that. So, if you want to preach to such demonic people, it's really risky. And people say even the fall down of one or two great people in Iskcon was due to the KGB force. KGB force, actually they were always trying to stop our Krishna. They were trying ways and means to somehow ever stop them, stop their activities. But the Buddha situation is so huge. They used to have, you know, the 16-wheeler bus, you know, 16-wheeler bus. Like that they had more than hundreds of it. Hundreds of buses booked these days to distribute. So it was terrific, the downpour of mercy, outpour of so much mercy of Krishna flowing. But the envious souls are always there to stop the devotees from their preaching, to pull them down from their standards. So Krishna says it's very risky to preach to them. The devotees say no problem, we will take the risk. Your Prahlada also says something similar. He says in the next letter, what do you say? Ravena Deva Maravattamasya Kama Maunam Charanti Janena Bharata Nishta Vivek Maitan Vihaja Kripana Jamma Moksha Eko Vivek Maitan Vihaja Kripana Jamma Moksha Eko Vihaja Kripana means living authority is Kripana to our foolish people. Mumoksha Eko, I don't want to get Mumoksha alone. I don't want to become a Mumoksha alone. Mumoksha means one who is fit for attaining Vaikuntha. What is use of my achieving Vaikuntha by living outside all this Kripana? Because I am not going to leave that. Unless I deliver all these people, I don't want to go to Vaikuntha. This is a mode of okay to what? A very, very great master. The purpose is obtaining the purpose, the real meaning of the Shaka. Hare Krishna. Yeah?
Mercy. For hearing they get mercy and for saying this Hare Krishna. For both they get mercy. Sankirtam, Parihasam, Stobam, Velanam, many activities he says. Sankirtam means division of one indirectly calls us the name of the Lord. But indirectly means haram. The Muslims say haram, haram, no? Haram means like we said, banish, you know? Haram. So even in that haram, the Ram word is something, so they get mercy for them. Sankirtam. Parihasya means, the one is playfully chanting. And it's, what is the Parihasya means that way? Yeah, playfully.
Emotive
tease, mockingly. You know, one mockingly chants Sankirtam. So, somehow or other, they have to come in contact with the pure devotee. That is very essential. All devotees chanting the holy name, they have to come in contact. So it's what is called as Ajnata Sukriti. Even once they get in touch, then it's afterwards they stand a very good chance to become devotees. It happens somehow, we don't know how it happens. Krishna arranges. Like I was going to college engineering technology. So there we had around 40 boys who attended the succession course. Out of that we got only four good boys from that. So we became system founders and became very advanced in spiritual life. Out of 4 means how much percent? 10% only. Rest of them all, went away, they never came to our classes. So now, 3 years later, one boy came to Gunjibari temple now, just a few days before. So, he told me that I am from Kolhapur. And immediately asked about Vrindavanam Tobu. Do you know Vrindavanam Tobu? He is living in Kolhapur. Oh, I know very much. So he introduced the Krishna consciousness. So he only brought you to Krishna consciousness. He said, no, you brought me. He said, how? And he said, oh, I was a student of printing technology. I was studying in 3 years before. Starting with your depression course. After the 2 years, I was not in touch with devotees. So I was little interested, not much interested. But when I went to Kolhapur, they arranged for Rajatra. So I came to know this kind of arranging. Then I participated, and now I am in touch with devotees. Now we are standing on 8 rounds. So somehow or other, somebody comes in touch with some devotees, then the devotion life begins. Then after that, they can go anywhere, Krishna will never leave them. Again and again, Krishna will keep on giving them opportunities. There are people from India who went to America for higher studies. There they went to some Los Angeles Center or Ohio or Columbus. They went to some center and gave some prasadam. So they know they give some nice Indian food, Indian vegetarian food. So they went for eating it. But because of eating it, they bought a Bhagavad Gita, they bought some books, they read. When they come back to India, they become very great devotees. Like when Krishna Sanan Prabhu, he went abroad, he was studying abroad. Then he became a disciple of Ramapad Maharaj and Yarabhyat, and then he added him to go to India and join one of the IITs, become a professor and preach, teaching at Delhi. So from India people go abroad for higher studies, they become devotees. Some of them get in touch with devotees, that is very essential. So it may not be because of any past path. As the Prabhupada told his disciples that I gave you the past today, you never had anything in the past. The context of a pure devotee. So we are not pure devotees, we are ordinary devotees. But we can give Prabhupada's books and give them a success to the devotees by giving Prasad Marathon is coming now. This month is Marathon month. From today onwards, Vaishnava Prabhu will be having a meeting after this class. So we can distribute these books and give people contact as a few devotees for reading which they can wonderfully advance Krishna consciousness. Next is the first important. Next week we will discuss 31 and 32.